You may be seated, and if you would, turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 33. My subject this morning, let's make America great again. Let's make America great again. Without question, God has blessed the USA. And without question, America needs a spiritual awakening to make this nation great again. I'm so glad to live in this country. As we were singing about the men that had gave their lives, I thought about my buddies, and I was carried back years ago to where I was in combat. And some of our buddies and our good friends and family members, they didn't make it back from that war, but and other wars that have come. But I'm glad today to live in this great country. And I'm so glad for the freedom that we enjoy in this great nation. You know, God has blessed America, and it's only fitting for us to celebrate our nation's birthday each year on Independence Day. This July the 4th, it will be Wednesday, July the 4th, America will be 242 years old. Think about that. July the 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence informed the world that the 13 original colonies that formed the United States of America, they were free from Great Britain's control. To celebrate this new found freedom in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, bells rang out, cannons were fired, and band music had filled the air as a grand parade marched down Main Street. And freedom is one of America's greatest freedom. Freedom is a gift. It is a wonderful gift. And it is a gift that comes from God. America was formed as a nation upon godly principles, and America was formed on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus said, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Our forefathers, they knew these principles. They knew the gospel. And we need to understand from a historical standpoint, especially our young people. That's why I want families in here today, that this great nation was formed by men who love God, men who wanted freedom, and it was formed by men and women who knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Don't let those who are trying to rewrite this nation's history fool you. Amen? Somebody's got to stand up. Our founding fathers were mostly Christians. 50 of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, they were evangelicals. They were Bible-believing Christians. And most of them were ordained clergy. It was a bunch of preachers who got together to help form the greatest nation ever known, the United States of America. They were preachers who trusted God. They were preachers who knew God. They were preachers who were born again through the blood of Jesus. They were preachers who knew the word of God. And look at this verse. They knew this right here when this nation was formed, Psalms 33 and 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. That's the theme of our camp meeting this year. Come to camp meeting in August. Look at the brochure going out. There's some brochures on the at the Welcome Center. You are chosen. God chose this nation as his own inheritance. God raised this great nation up, and God, we have a church, and if the church will rise up and let her light shine, we can take this nation back to God. Amen. I believe the songwriter must have had this verse in mind that I just quoted when she penned the words to the song, America the Beautiful. Have you ever traveled this nation? I've been in all 50 states. I set that as a goal as a young man, and I completed that a few years ago. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, 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 God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mounting majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. My subject this morning, let's make America great again. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this great nation. Thank you for the body of Christ, those who believe in the blood of Jesus, those who have been redeemed, those who have been chosen. And Lord, you have given us a mandate. We're to carry the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And Lord, we thank you for this nation, and we thank you for a divine, sovereign move of your spirit in this church, in this community, in this state, in this nation, and let us carry it to the world. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I stated, America was founded upon biblical principles. Our foundational values were such things as honesty, morality, integrity, justice, and godliness. And during this nation's formative years, the Ten Commandments, they were taught in our churches, they were taught in our schools, and they were taught in our homes. Hallelujah. That's something to think about, that you know. Our culture would have you to believe that the home is no longer important. But our founding fathers, they knew the importance of the home. They knew the importance of the family. We know the importance of the family in this church. We know the importance of taking the gospel. We are a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. We are going. We are taking the message to the world around us. But these men that formed this nation, they were godly men, and the principles they lived by and they endorsed, they were Christian, biblical principles. I read a story when a man came to the Continental Congress. He wanted to know which man was George Washington. A friend said, it's easy to spot him when the Congress begins to pray. And if you want to know who George Washington is, he said, it's easy to spot him. Said, he's the tall man who will go to his knees. George Washington read from the Bible. He read from the Bible when he was inaugurated as the first president of the United States of America. He took his oath of the Bible, his oath of office, with his hand upon the Bible, and he leaned down and kissed the pages of the Bible. Maybe he had read what Jeremiah said, that words were found, and I did eat them, and that word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I have a habit sometimes, I don't want people to see me, but I'll just and blow the Lord a kiss. Why do I do that? I found out that that is a Hebrew word that means to throw God a kiss. That's a form of praise. That I just want to thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful for this nation. But more than that, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus that declares victory for each and every person that will come to the cross. Hallelujah. You know, when they signed the Declaration of Independence, these men said, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. They were servants of God, and they were servants of the people. They were leaders of this nation. They did not seek public office for their own personal gain, but they were men who helped raise up a nation of the people, for the people, and by the people. These were not elected officials who tried to cram their own agenda down the throat of the American people. Oh, no, my friend. These were public servants, men of character, men of integrity. They put their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor on the line. They understood the importance of involving God in the affairs of the government and in the affairs of public life. They believed the Bible, and they structured our nation and our government upon the principles of the Bible. They knew what Psalms 121 says. You know, we need to get back to some Bible basics. Psalms 127 verse 1. Look at this. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. The Lord used people to build this great nation. Christian people, hallelujah. People born again. And then the Lord has kept this great nation. And it's time for us to make America great again. Did you know this about our founding fathers? I'm a military man, so these things really cut deep in me. Five of the founding fathers, they were captured and tortured by the British Army. 12 had their homes burned to the ground. 2 lost their sons in the American Revolution. 9 fought, and they later died from wounds that they received during the Revolutionary War. These men were the real deal. Let me tell you something. Hallelujah. They were far cry from the self-serving servants in our government today. These were men who loved God. They were men who loved this nation. And they were men who loved the cause of freedom. Amen. So it's only fitting that we celebrate our nation's birth on this God and Country Day that we're going to celebrate. We're doing it today. It's only fitting that we make America great again. Amen. Now, you may not like President Donald Trump, but he ran and he won the presidency of the United States of America in 2016 upon the platform, Make America Great Again. You may not like him, but you have got to like the things he has done. He has worked to restore family values to this nation by recognizing the importance of the family. He has worked to strengthen the economy, and the stock market is at an all-time high. I looked at my stock today, and let me tell you, it didn't happen because a bunch of mealy-mouthed men did something. It happened because a man who knows business principles stood up and started bringing industry back to this great nation. Amen. My stock is at an all-time high. I don't know about you, whether you even have any or not, but he has touched the poor folks, the middle class, and the upper class, and he's working to make this nation great again. He strengthened our economy. He has brought jobs and industries back to America. The unemployment rate of black Americans and Hispanic Americans is at an all-time low. Amen. He has created jobs. He has restored the dignity of the working class. I don't want to be on welfare roll. I want to be on somebody's payroll, making a difference in life. And that's what we need to make this nation great again. He has strengthened our economy. He has negotiated new trade deals, silenced ISIS, and averted war with Russia, Iran, and North Korea. He has made America respected once again by governments around the world. He has assigned a Supreme Court justice, and he has helped to restore our constitutional rights that were quickly being washed away. On and on the list goes. And if you love this nation, you will have to admit these are some good things, and it has improved our way of life. Go on, praise God. Don't listen to that crowd of left-wingers that wants to take God out of everything. No, he has an evangelical prayer team, and we need some people that will stand up. He won the presidency against all odds. Their forces have come against him, yet he still stands tall. Would you want to stop and just thank God that God put him in that office? God did it, not man. It was against all the rules, against all odds. But somehow God in his sovereignty, he gave us a chance once again. So what are we going to do? Now, all those things are great things, but let me tell you something. They cannot make America great again. Only a spiritual awakening can make America great again. God said it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's my way. God said it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Make no doubt about it. Now, America was founded as a Christian nation on godly principles and biblical principles. And that, my friends, is what made America great. If you don't believe that, listen to this. John Quincy Adams said, and I quote, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity." End of quote. Patrick Henry said, and I quote, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." End of quote. Somebody praise God for these strong men that have found this nation. President Andrew Jackson said, and I quote, The Bible is the rock upon which our public rests. End of quote. President Abraham Lincoln said, and I quote, "In regards to this great book, I have this but to say, it is the best gift God has given to man." End of quote. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our nation and our great leaders, they have been, the nation was founded and the great leaders founded this nation upon godly principles. These were godly men who have exemplified devotion to righteousness as found in the Holy Bible, the eternal Word of God. And consider this. In 1954, the Congress adopted the phrase, "Under one God, that it be added to the Pledge of Allegiance." One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Then in July 1956, by a joint resolution, Congress adopted a bill providing that the national motto of the United States would be, "In God we trust." Say that with us. In God we trust. Say it again. In God we trust. Shout it out real loud. In God we trust. Hallelujah. That's a great history, but all of that changed in just a few short years. Somewhere around the 1960s, things began to take a turn for the worse. In 1962, prayer was banned from the public schools. Then the Bible was removed. Then the Ten Commandments. And there are people who would have you to believe that because America is made up of such diversity today, that our foundational values, they are offensive and no longer relevant to the American culture. There are people that want you to believe that. But these values, they have worked for over 200 years. Why would these time-honored values, based on the Word of God, not continue to work? God founded this nation. He used holy men. And he used men that would form this nation and our Constitution on biblical sound principles. Amen. See, no nation has ever been any greater than its God. No nation can ever be any greater than its God. Righteousness exalts the nation. And the Bible says, "Happy is the people whose God is the Lord." Yet so many in America, they have turned away from God. God said, "Don't you forget me at the place of fullness of bread." We got people, they want to say, "We took this, we took that." No, God let some people come here who wanted to be free. And it just so happened that history worked its way out like that. Read the Bible. You'll see that. God gave Canaan land. And they had to go in and occupy that land. Amen. It's not what happened back in history. It's what God wants to do. We got a great heritage. And some great men helped carve out a great nation. But we've got to make America great again. Amen. You know, so many of our churches today, they have a form and a fashion. And they excuse and they endorse and compromise when it comes to sin. Church, we have been sold a false bill of goods because you cannot serve sin and live ungodly and enjoy a life of freedom and liberty. It is an impossibility. Sin, by its very nature, it enslaves. Sin has a payday. And the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Sin will kill you. It'll kill your home. It'll kill your influence. It'll kill your body. It'll kill your family. It will kill a nation if you let it run rampant. Amen. If the Bible says something is wrong, I don't care what that left-wing group says, then it's wrong. If the Bible says something is right, then it is right. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. Our founding forefathers based everything upon the Word of God when it came to our values. Amen. The Declaration of Independence, it proclaimed America's freedom from Great Britain. But the Bible proclaims our freedom from sin, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. And America needs to hear the true gospel if we're ever going to be great again. Church, we need a spiritual awakening. We need an awakening that will revive us. It will revive us within. We need a sense of righteousness. We need a sense of holiness once again to prick our heart. We need to go back and do what that old songwriter penned in the words. What will wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing, 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 nothing but the blood of Jesus. I tell you what it was that brought me out. I tell you what it was that saved my soul. It was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. One day he snapped my brain and I said, I got to get to church. I got to get out of this sinful condition. I got to make my way to Jesus. I'm empty inside. There's a void inside of me. I need help and I need help from God. And that's what this great nation needs. We need help and we need help from God. And we need to take the gospel, the everlasting gospel, to the ends of the world. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to free you from sin. Yet there are millions of people, think about them, who serve in the church today. They tithe. They serve on committees. They pray. They're good people. They're religious. And they're lost. They've never been born again. They're in church. They lie. They steal. They commit adultery. They sleep around. They drink liquor. They get high. And they think they're going to heaven because they go to church. And they say a little word, oh, I love Jesus. No, you don't know the Jesus I know, but I can introduce you to him. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. If you've been delivered from that kind of life I just mentioned, lying, stealing, and cheating, then you're born again. If you have not been delivered, then you are yet in your sins. And you're not going to heaven, my friends. You will not get to heaven by ungodly ways, worldly ways. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, it is of the world and not of God. He that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. You want to go to heaven? Get your heart right with God. If you've ever been saved and you still got bondages, there's a thing called sanctification where you go back to the cross. It's all at the cross. The Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Knowing this, that the old man of sin is crucified. Why, Paul? That the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth you should not serve sin. For he that is dead, dead to what? Dead to sin. Shall not serve sin. Hallelujah. Thank God there's liberty in America. And thank God there's liberty in Christ Jesus. Go on and praise him, because you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. If you have not been delivered from sin, you are not going to heaven. If you don't show fruits of salvation and fruits of repentance, you are not saved. And you just need to know that. Religion in itself is not enough. People don't need religion. They need a relationship with Jesus Christ. I thought about the Pharisees. They went to church. They tithed. They prayed. They fasted. And they died. And they went to hell. Now, there was another Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus. He was a doctor of the law. He was a good man. He was a religious man, but he realized, I'm lost. And he came to Jesus by night. Look at John 3:3. That was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man, have you ever gotten a miracle from God? For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God. Woo! Except God be with him. He didn't come to Jesus by night because he was ashamed. He didn't care what the other people thought. He came because he knew he was lost and he knew he had to get things right with God. He said, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait until the morning. I've got to get to Jesus now. And I'm going tonight. That's just the way it was with me. I walked in one night to my apartment. I said, I got to get to Jesus. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed till 3 a.m. in the morning. Oh, I was tough. I was hard. I fought a war. I believe you could have taken my heart out and thrown it on the concrete and it would have bounced up. I didn't know how to cry. But I'll tell you something. I prayed to 3 a.m. and God said, you go home to that church you were raised up in. You give your heart to my son Jesus. And when I walked in the door, the Spirit of God came over me and I began to weep because of the conviction power of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, I believe old Nicodemus was weeping his way to Jesus that night. He was religious, but there was an emptiness in his heart. And he came to Jesus by night and said, "We know you're a teacher sent from God." Let me tell you, he's more than a teacher sent from God. He is the Son of the living God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." You say, "I don't believe that." Well, I promise you one thing. You will find it out someday in eternity. Jesus, look at John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Buddha's not the way. Confucius is not the way. The New Age movement is not the way. Religion is not the way. There's only one way to God. That's through the everlasting gospel and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Somebody shout and praise him, because you've been redeemed. You are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God gave heaven's best. It was holy blood. It was the blood of God that was being poured out, because only pure, uncontaminated blood can wash away the sins of suffering humanity. Jesus said to Nicodemus, this religious man, "Hey, Nicodemus, you got to be born again." You know, that was something in this, in a man of Nicodemus that was empty. He knew he was empty, and he longed to know God. Many preachers today, they've overlooked this. And they only preach a gospel of love and a gospel of grace. Thank God for his love and thank God for grace. We have built churches today upon programs and upon entertainment and such the like. And we have preached another gospel. We talk about the unchurched. We used to talk about they're lost and they're on their way to hell. No, we don't need to just get them church. We need to get them born again. And if they get born again, they'll get into church. Amen. I believe in preaching the full gospel. Look at this verse right here. Not preach much. Psalms 19:7. The Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Do you see that? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Keep that in mind. That's very important. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. See, this nation was founded upon the Ten Commandments and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Ten Commandments, the law of God, is what points us to Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "By the law is the knowledge of sin. And by the commandment, sin became exceedingly sinful." He's not talking about the ceremonial law, do this and don't do that. He's talking about the Ten Commandments, the law of God. The Ten Commandments must be preached in order for man to realize that they have sinned against the holy God and that they have broken his laws. We were all guilty. We've all sinned. We've all come short of God's glory. But the good news is Jesus took our sins upon himself, and he paid the penalty for our sin. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. I was blind, but now I am happy all the day. Sing it, church. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. I don't know what you're going through, but you ought to be happy. I don't know how your finances are today, but you ought to be happy. I don't know how your family's doing today, but you ought to be happy. I don't know if you've lost some loved ones, but you ought to be happy. I've lost friends, but let me tell you, Jesus made me happy. Jesus gave me joy unspeakable that's full of glory. And all I got to do is go back and think about that cross. All I got to think about is Jesus walked in. Hallelujah. All I got to think about is his amazing grace and what he did for me. Let me tell you what he did for me. Hallelujah. That's what you need to tell the world around you. Let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you about Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. What manner of man is he? He's the one who can calm your troubled sea. He calls blind eyes open, turned the water into wine. He's the Savior, the Redeemer, the way for mankind. I met him one day, and he changed my life from nature to grace and put his spirit inside of me. And I'm so happy, I don't know what to do with myself. I've had my struggles. I've had my hard times. But I know God's got it all in control. Hallelujah. I know that God's going to work it all out to my good. He said, for we know there's a law says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I feel like I just preach a little while. He called me. I put my hand in that nail-scarred hand. Praise God. And when I did, all of a sudden, my whole world changed. All of a sudden, things started falling into place. All of a sudden, the grief, the sorrow, and the pain, it just rolled away. All the sin was gone. And I had God's joy. I had God's peace. I knew his righteousness. I knew I was a child of the King. Let's stand and give Jesus a standing ovation. Glory to God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's good news, my friend. Thank God for America, but thank God for freedom and the Bible principles that this nation was founded upon. Why do you think they took the Ten Commandments out of our public schools? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Listen to this list. Now, we're multicultural. So there are all kind of gods. No, there's one God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Just to name a few. Those sound like some pretty good principles to live by, don't they? God's laws are perfect. They are perfect laws, converting the soul. Church, we need to realize that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Removing the Ten Commandments from the American culture was a diabolical attack of the devil to move us away from our godly inheritance. Amen. Look at my text again, Psalms 33 and 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Oh, you are the inheritance of God. Giving thanks unto God, which has made us meet, which has qualified us, which has made us worthy to receive this great salvation and his inheritance in the saint. God has an inheritance in you. It's locked up in you. When you got free, all of a sudden there was something inside of you, the righteousness of God, where you could go out and set the captive free. Think about that. People are living under curse, but you're not. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. And you believe, and there are people that are living under generational curses. And it's all been broken off of you by the blood of Jesus. And God has chosen you to go out and to fill this land with his gospel so we can have a spiritual awakening. And America can come back to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time that we make America great again. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. You see, the law makes us aware of our sin against God. But the law, it cannot justify us. The law condemns us. And the law leaves us helpless before God. The law cannot save. But the law does serve a purpose. It makes us aware of our sin. So that when we hear the gospel, we can flee the wrath of God that is to come. The law of God must be preached if the sinners are going to be converted and experience real salvation. Without the knowledge of the law, you cannot know sin. And if you don't know what sin is, there would be no reason to flee the wrath of God by turning to Jesus Christ. Look at what Paul preached, Galatians 3:24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. You see that? It was the teacher to bring us to Christ that we might be justified, made just as if you had never sinned, by faith. By faith in what? By faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now, modern evangelism would say, never question your salvation. You are eternally saved. The Bible says just the opposite. Stick with me. Look at what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Now that word reprobate, it means rejected by God, excluded from salvation, and lost in your sins. And so the Bible says, let a man examine himself in the light of God's word in order to see if you are really saved. If you're still bound, if you're still drinking, if you're still slipping around, if you're still lying, if you're still cheating, if you're still lying on business deals, if you're still doing those type of things, you are not saved. The Bible says, examine yourself in the light of God's word. The Bible says, turn you. Why will you die in your sins? And yet so many people in the church today who profess to be Christians, they know that something is radically wrong in their Christian walk. That's why the Bible says, let him who names the name of Jesus depart from iniquity. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. Transgressions are law, light sins against moral principles. But iniquities, they are gross sins. If you want to know what they are, look at the Ten Commandments. You'll find out what they are. Amen. Bible says, if you name the name of Jesus Christ, depart from iniquity, from gross sin. I don't preach these truths to make people doubt their salvation. Don't ever think that. No. I preach them so they will see themselves in the light of God's word, and so they will begin to draw near to God. That's why the law and the cross must be preached. The law condemns us, and the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can justify us before a holy God. Salvation and repentance, they mean more than saying, I'm sorry for my sins. Repentance means, Lord, you are right, and my sin has been against you, and I have broken your laws. Repentance means a crisis moment when you admit, I cannot continue in this sin and still be a child of God. Repentance means denying every excuse for your sin and coming to the cross so God can deal with your sin and wash it away by the blood of Jesus. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. Worldly sorrow worketh death. I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry my sin has been exposed. I'm sorry people know this about me. That is not going to bring salvation. When you say, God, I am sorry, I have sinned, and I have sinned against your laws, and I need to be saved. Salvation means turning from sin and turning to God with all your heart. A few more scriptures, and I'm going to be through. I want to give you some preaching out of the Gospel of Mark. This is not my preaching. This is Jesus preaching right here. Jesus preached not only grace, but Jesus, he preached the law. If you don't believe it, look at this, Mark 7 and 6. Jesus answered and said unto them, well hath Elias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written. Boy, that's some strong. Jesus called them hypocrites. This is Jesus now. Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written. This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching the doctrines, the commandment of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many such things like you do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own traditions. And then Jesus pointed them to the law, and he preached the law in order to expose their sin. Look at Mark 7 and 10. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death. That's some strong preaching. Jesus, you have rejected the commandments of God so that you may keep your own traditions. Look at the church world today. We need, my friends, a spiritual awakening. Make that a priority on your prayer list. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth shall die. That's a law. It's the law of God. And here's another law. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And so as a nation, we must return to the foundational values on which this great nation was founded. It was founded upon the Ten Commandments and founded upon the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as found in the Holy Bible, the eternal Word of God. Amen. God help us. It was founded by a bunch of preachers. Preachers who understood God's law and the freedom that we can have only in Christ. America needs a spiritual awakening. But it will not start in the White House. I can tell you where it will start. It will start in the church house. And it will start with you and me. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The government cannot change you. Money cannot change you. Food stamps cannot change you. Governmental programs cannot change you. Wealth cannot change you. Religion cannot change you. But I'll tell you what can change you. Jesus Christ and His precious blood. It can change you. We need a spiritual awakening. And it must start with you and me. Church, let's make America great again. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's our commission. We are ambassadors for Christ. We need to let our light shine. Church, we need to rise up in the name of Jesus. It needs to be our clarion call. Let's make America great again. Let's get our neighbors, first of all our family, then our neighbors, then those that work with us, those around us in the marketplace. Let's carry the gospel to them. We're the salt, we're the preservative. We have the greatest message ever known. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come. And then he commissioned us to go. You're empowered. You're anointed. Let's go into it. Let's stand and praise our God. Hallelujah.
How amen. Great,
he's a great God.
Is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great.
You're a great God.
How great.
Ain't nobody.
Is our God.
Do me like Jesus. Glory.
How great is our God.
Think about it. Think about where you were. Think about how your life was.
Is our God.
When you met Jesus.
Oversee how.
Think about the liberty, the freedom, the blessings you have now. Look at your life. Look at your family. Look at your children. Look at your spouse. Look at your finances. Look at how great God has been. Woo!
How great.
Great is the our God. Greatly to be praised.
Sing with me.
Woo!
How great is
our Father, we
God.
Thank you that you're a great
it
God and you raised up this great nation. America, America. God shed his grace on thee. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory, glory, glory.
Name above every name.
Name above all names, worthy of all
my heart will sing,
and my heart will sing, how great is our God.
Come on, let's come to the altar and thank Him. Let the families come together. This is where we met Jesus, at the altar. Come to the altar. Tell Him how great He is. Tell Him how much you thank Him for that salvation. When He said, I choose you. You're chosen. You're anointed. Hallelujah. You belong to the King. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo. Glory.
How great is our God.
How great is our God.
God, let me know if I can get you into His presence, that Jesus will do the work. Come on in close so everybody can get in. God said, you get them into my presence. You get my presence in the house. I'll do the work that only I can do. You let Jesus touch you. Jesus can change you. Come on in close. Let everybody in the altar. Come on in. Come on in. Tighten up in here. Give these people behind you some room. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on in close. Come on. Come on. Give everybody a chance to get into the altar. Glory. Glory. God told me at the first of the year if I could get people together with one accord in one place, He'd give me some suddenness. I believe what God said. God said, I'll give you some suddenness. Whatever you need from God, cry out to God. Cry out in the name of Jesus. Our God is a great God. Our God is a God of miracles. Our God is a transforming God. Our God delivers from the guttermost to the uttermost. He's a great God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on in tight. Let everybody in the altars. Come in close. Come on, come on, come on. Come in. Let everybody get in here. Glory.
It's our God. Sing with me how great.